कभी जनवाला बागिरिवर धारी गोपी जनवाला बागिरिवर धारी यशोर नयन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नयन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन थीरा बन चारी यमुन थीरा बन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवाला बागिरिवर धारी गोपी जनवाला बागिरिवर धारी Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanajari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Goda Hari Bol Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Go to Premanande. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Satya Sri Srimadhe Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Premse Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Gangamaya Yamunamaya Ki Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Goda Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna. Is it verse 3 or 4? Sorry? Okay. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, The Lord's Pastimes out of Vrindavan, Text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll read text 4 by myself, and then we'll read text 5 together, because there's no purport to text 4. So I'll just read it. Kakudmino vidhana shodhamitva svayam vare nagna jatim urvaha tadbhagnamana napigridyato jnan jagnekshatak shastra brita svashastrai. Translation. By subduing 7 bulls whose noses were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnajiti in the open competition to select her bridegroom. Although the Lord was victorious, his competitors asked the hand of the princess, and thus there was a fight. Well equipped with weapons, the Lord killed or wounded all of them, but he was not hurt himself. Text 5. Please repeat. Priyam Prabhur Gramya Eva Prayaya Vithitsur Arschad Yutarang Yad Arte Vajri Adravat Tang Sagano Rusandaha Krida Mrigo Nunam Ayam Vadhunam Priyam Prabhur Gramya Iva Priyaya Vidhit Surars Chad Yutadam Yadarte Vajyadravatang Saganodasandaha Krida Mrigo Nunam Ayam Vadhunam Priyam Prabhur Gramya Iva Priyaya Vidhit Surars Chad Yutaram Yadarte Vajyadravatang Saganodasanda Krida Mrigo Nunamayam Vadhunam Priyam Prabhur Gramya Iva Priyaya Vidhid Suraj Chad Yutaram Yadarte Vajradravattam Saganodasandha Krida Mrigo Nunamayam Vadhunam. Matajis. Priyam of the dear wife, Prabhu the Lord, Gramya, ordinary living being, Eva in the manner of, Piyaya, just to please, Vidhitsuhu, wishing, Archchat, brought about, Deuterum, the Parijat flower tree, Yut, for which, Arte, in the matter of, Vajri, Indra, the king of heaven, Adravatam, went forward to fight with him, Saganaha, with full strength, Rusha, in anger, Andaha, blind, Krida Mrigaha, henpecked, Nunam, of course, Ayam, this, Vadhunam, of the wives. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Just to please His dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijat tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. Please repeat. Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijat tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord once went to the heavenly planet to present an earring to Aditi, the mother of the demigods. And his wife, Satyabhama, also went with him. There is a special flowering tree called the Parijat, which grows only in the heavenly planets. And Satyabhama wanted this tree. Just to please his wife, like an ordinary husband, the Lord brought back the tree. And this enraged Vajri, or the controller of the thunderbolt. Indra's wives inspired him to run after the Lord to fight. And Indra, because he was a henpecked husband and also a fool, listened to them and dared to fight with Krishna. He was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to the Lord. There was no fault on the part of the Lord, even though he took away the tree from the heavenly kingdom. But because Indra was henpecked, dominated by his beautiful wives like Shachi, he became a fool, just as all persons who are dominated by their wives are generally foolish. Indra thought that Krishna was a henpecked husband who only, by the will of his wife, Satyabhama, took away the property of heaven. And therefore he thought that Krishna could be punished. He forgot that the Lord is the proprietor of everything and cannot be henpecked. The Lord is fully independent, and by his will only he can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not, therefore, attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife. But he was pleased with her devotional service and thus wanted to reciprocate the unalloyed devotion of his devotee. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganara Raganatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutam Padajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinapanda Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabh Banu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turbhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I start by just requesting the blessings of all the devotees, especially Srila Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples, that I can speak something of use and very enlivening and in line with the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta as passed down to us by Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'll read the translation again. Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijat tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. So there was a great demon, Bhaumasura. He was becoming very powerful, and he was starting to give a lot of trouble to different demigods. Lord Varuna is one. He took a special umbrella from his throne, and he took the earrings of Aditi, who's the mother of the demigods. And he was occupying different places and causing a lot of trouble. So finally, actually, Lord Indra came to Dwarka, and he appealed to Lord Krishna to help them because of this demon. And actually, in Krishna book, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that Krishna immediately, he got his wife Satyabhama, and he went straight to the capital of Bhaumasura, and it was not an easy task. It was actually a huge ordeal. Of course, Krishna can easily do anything, but this is his pastime, so he had to go, and there are many strongholds. Several strongholds that were constructed by another demon named Mura. And Krishna broke through all the strongholds, and then he had to fight with this demon, who was very powerful. It's described that he was so effulgent and angry and powerful that he was so bright that you couldn't hardly even look at him, because his effulgence was like looking into the sun. So Krishna had a great fight with this demon. And then the demon actually had 7 sons. And then he had to go to war with all of the sons of the demon. And then Bhaumasura came with his army and fought with Lord Krishna. So it was like a war. So of course Krishna eventually, he came out victorious. And he collected his booty. You know, a lot of riches and, you know, the 16,100 queens that Bhaumasura had stolen from different kings' palaces. And the mother of Bhaumasura, who happened to be Mother Earth, returned the earrings of Aditi and the umbrella of Varuna to Krishna. And then Krishna, who did all this, by the way, with Satyabhama with him, they went. and he returned the earrings to Lord Indra. And it's described that when they were on their way back, Satyabhama said, well, you know, I really wanted that Parijat tree. And Krishna knew that already, because actually Narada Muni brought and presented a Parijat flower to Queen Rukmini. And Satyabhama, it's described that there was a competitive kind of mood between Krishna's wives and co-wives. And yet Satyabhama wanted Parijat flower too. So she brought this up, and they went to retrieve this flower. Actually, Krishna said, I don't know why you're asking for a flower, because I want to give you the whole tree. And then they go, and actually it says that Satyabhama uprooted the tree and put it on the back of Garuda. They were on the back of Garuda. So anyway, the inhabitants of Indra's capital city and his wives were irritated by that. And then they, complained to Indra. And then that's why Lord Indra came and then was fighting with the Lord. So Lord Indra approached the Lord, offering respects and offering prayers, offering his obeisances, and requesting him to help with this demon, which the Lord actually took a lot of trouble to do by his pastime. And then right after he actually conquered the demon and returned the earrings that were stolen from Indra's mother, Aditi, then Lord Indra is fighting with him over a Parijat tree. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada describes how, and there's a note here in this purport also, says, Lord Indra is being called a fool for being a henpecked husband, and it's kind of some strong language against Indra. But in one sentence in the purport, Prabhupada notes that he was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to the Lord. So, Lord Indra, he's the king of the demigods. He's not just a fool. He's a very advanced living entity. But on this occasion, sometimes even the demigods can come under the control of different attachments and the different modes. So, in this circumstance, Lord Indra is showing an example of the way that materialistic men deal. Prabhupada explains that they will make a great show of devotion, but whenever their purpose is fulfilled, then they change. In Krishna book, Prabhupada says actually that after Lord Indra's purpose was fulfilled, then he turned into a different creature. He changed. And in the circumstance, he was influenced by his wives. So that's why he's described as henpecked. It basically means controlled. So the point of this is that Prabhupada says that when one has too much wealth, too much material wealth, and too much money and assets, he actually says that this is a disqualification in devotional service in this context. It's not that the wealth itself is the disqualification, because Srila Prabhupada taught us that we can use everything in devotional service. We can dovetail. If we have a lot of wealth, we can use that in devotional service. But it's if we're materially attached, if we're attached to the wealth, and if we have, these materialistic purposes to fulfill, then that's our disqualification. So, I wanted to share something with you. So we're hearing about ordinary husbands and wives, and So, you know, Prabhupada taught us that there's two different kinds of householders, the Grihamedi and the Grihastha. And there's one nice purport in Bhagavatam. It's in Canto 3, Chapter 30, Text 8. I just wanted to read that. It's one of my favorite verses and purports. Translation. He gives his heart and senses to a woman who falsely charms him with Maya. He enjoys solitary embraces and talking with her, and he is enchanted by the sweet words of the small children. Purport. Family life within the kingdom of illusory energy, Maya, is just like a prison for the eternal living entity. In prison, a prisoner is shackled by iron chains and iron bars. Similarly, a conditioned soul is shackled by the charming beauty of a woman, by her solitary embraces and talks of so-called love, and by the sweet words of his small children. Thus he forgets his real identity. And it's also the same for the women, for the men. In this verse, the words strinam asatinam indicate that womanly love is just to agitate the mind of man. Actually, in the material world, there is no love. Both the woman and the man are interested in their sense gratification. For sense gratification, a woman creates an illusory love, and then the man becomes enchanted by such false love and forgets his real duty. When there are children as the result of such a combination, the next attraction is to the sweet words of the children. The love of the woman at home and the talk of the children make one a secure prisoner, and thus he cannot leave his home. Such a person is termed in Vedic language a Grihamedi, which means one whose center of attraction is home. Grihastha refers to one who lives with family, wife, and children, but whose real purpose of living is to develop Krishna consciousness. One is therefore advised to become a Grihastha and not a Grihamedi. The Grihastha's concern is to get out of the family life created by illusion and enter into real family life with Krishna. Whereas the Grihamedi's business is to repeatedly chain himself to so-called family life in one life after another and perpetually remain in the darkness of Maya. And so, externally, you know, the Grihamedi is controlled by their spouse. But ultimately, they're controlled by their senses. It's because of ignorance and the lack of strength and devotional service that we take shelter of sense gratification. I mean, that's what everyone's doing in the material world. And so when one is too attached to sense gratification, this is what happens. And there's a commentary on Gita Govinda by Prabodhananda Saraswati about the five arrows of Cupid. I just wanted to share some of that with you. During the course of one's life, one sees many members of the opposite sex. There's a natural attraction caused by the arrangement of Maya because we identify ourselves with the body. Pungsa Shriya Mitini Bhava. It produces passionate heat in our bodies, which in turn unleashes the material desires stored within our hearts since time immemorial, and also provides the drive to achieve them. Thus, the hridaya granti, knot in the heart, hridaya means, granti means knot, or material entanglement, is tightened, and we continue to undergo lifetimes of transmigration within various species. So there's a sequence in which this happens. And it's described that Cupid has these five different arrows that one gets hit with. And so the first arrow, which is, these arrows are made of flowers. The first one is white lotus, Aravinda. The first arrow makes one infatuated. One identifies only the best qualities in the other person. One constantly thinks of the other, and if the opportunity permits, they talk with or meet each other. In this way, the infatuation is deepened. I heard Dhanavir Maharaj, he explained to us when we were in Denver, there was like Brahmachari Sangha. It was in a Bhagavatam class. He said, Maya begins with she's nice, or she looks nice, or she's nice, or he's nice. That's when it begins, you know, in Bhagavad Gita. It starts by contemplating the objects of the senses. So by doing that, we become infatuated. That's the first arrow of Cupid. Then, when the next arrow pierces the heart, separation becomes unbearable. One's mind and senses are agitated. If opportunity permits, the couple increase their interaction until it covers the entire day. They derive mellow from each other's association, nectar at first, nectar to start, then follow other things like children, household responsibilities, and so on. But such a state does not last for long, as the third arrow pierces the heart, which begins to burn. The pain is almost unbearable. One's intelligence gets bewildered and one acts like a madman. Often the relationships enter a problematic phase with frequent frictions producing more heat. Anyone experience that? The heat produces dryness as the fourth arrow pierces. One enters the extreme state of pain. Breakup, unwanted pregnancy, abortion, divorce, depression, stress, alcoholism, violence, ulcers, hair loss, and so on. Finally, karma releases the fifth arrow, which just destroys the victim. Suicide, acid throwing, murder, and so on. Death separates even the most intimate couples. In this way, one suffers in this life and the next, entering into ghostly species. All the five arrows are meant to increase the intensity of material entanglement and degrade one into the darkest pits of illusion. Two options are normally available for the conditioned soul. And then it goes on. So I wanted to share that because, you know, anybody who's experienced materialistic love in the material world has experienced this or is experiencing it. And I was thinking, you know, we go and do Harinam every day, and a lot of people are very intoxicated, and you can see, what do they say, the face is the index to the mind. You know, people don't look happy. And you can see the person is unhappy, even if they try to mask it. And so many people are suffering because of this. You know, alcoholism was one of the things listed. So many people are, you know, alcoholics and suffering and taking so many vices and everything because it's not always the case, but a lot of times it's because of the affliction of the heart from materialistic love affairs. The pain is so unbearable. So, to the degree that we are taking shelter of materialistic lust, we will have to suffer that pain. But even if a devotee is not completely pure and experiences some amount, it's different for a devotee who gets purified. You know, Krishna helps him by making different arrangements for his purification. And the devotee, very much exemplified by Queen Kunti in her prayers, can see all difficulties, calamities, as blessings from the Lord and as arrangements for our purification and lessons for us to learn. So a devotee is always progressive, and they're always learning and deepening their devotional service. There's one term Prabhupada used. He describes casual devotees. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.40. Translation: any human being who prays like Brahman, who thus worships me, shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benediction. Purport: the prayers offered by Brahma cannot be chanted by anyone who desires to fulfill his own sense gratification. Such prayers can be selected only by a person who wants to satisfy the Lord in his service. The Lord certainly fulfills all desires in regard to transcendental loving service, but he cannot fulfill the whims of non-devotees, even when such casual devotees offer him the best of prayers. So, you know, basically being a devotee means acting for the pleasure of the Lord's senses. And so one can look like a devotee. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was surprised. I read this purport. Prabhupada was talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, anybody can put on a dhoti and chant shlokas and, you know, sing and all these things. But if actually they're doing it for their own sense gratification, they're being referred to here as like a casual devotee. There's definitely a benefit by associating with the holy name. Just like fire, you know, if you come close to fire, the effects of fire can be felt, like heat, even if you don't know it. You know, by associating with transcendental sound vibration and with devotees, you're going to get some purification. But if your attitude is that of sense gratification or in the mood of enjoyment, then it's going to be much slower than if you're intently and consciously trying to control your senses and do the needful to make advancement. So, how do we do that? I found this verse. It's in the Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 7:17. Oops, I think I got the wrong verse. There is a. I think it's in Adi Lila. I marked the wrong verse, but basically, it's clearly said that you can do this by developing your love for Lord Nityananda. And, I marked the wrong verse. I wanted to read that, but I lost it. So I thought this was very nice. By developing our love for Lord Nityananda, who we hear that Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, but then Lord Nityananda is even more merciful. And we remember that this is exemplified in the pastime of Jagai Madai, whenever Lord Nityananda was struck on the head with the earthen pot by the brothers. Lord Chaitanya was so mad, he was just going to kill him. But Lord Nityananda actually saved them and said, you know, if you kill them, you might as well kill everybody in Kali Yuga. And he pacified the Lord, and then they became pure devotees. So in a similar way, if we could take shelter of Lord Nityananda, of our spiritual master, who is explained to be the mercy manifestation. Lord Nityananda's mercy is manifested as our spiritual master. Take shelter of our spiritual master, serving our Guru Maharaj, developing our love. Then we can be purified, and that's the whole point. That's the facility of the Grihastha. That's what the Grihastha is doing. That's his purpose, not sense gratification. Even if there is some degree of sense gratification, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, we hear about the unadulterated brahmacharis as opposed to the regulated householders, how they engage in bhakti. The unadulterated brahmacharis sacrifice the hearing process in the fire of mental control, and the regulated householders sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So they are given some license, but there's like a fence around it. You got a fence around your material desires, and then you get purified. So I'm going over time, so I'll end here. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I don't know if we still have time, if anybody would like to share. Okay.
Thank you, Guru. I caught that one thing that you mentioned, the difference between Grihameris and Grihastas, and that called my attention. And the grihasthas were obviously those who are pursuing devotional service and everything related to Krishna makes a difference from the karmis, behavior and attitude in relation to the topic. So we heard that expression, that attraction and repulsion also, the same coin. This brought me to the one recollection. I was reading Giriraj Maharaj's book, and he mentions that one time two brahmanas. So this has not happened just between materialists, but even those who pursue transcendental knowledge too. Two brahmanas from another sampradaya came to see Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was having a conversation with one of his senior disciples, I think Yasomati Nandana. And these two brahmanas, when they saw that Prabhupada was talking to the older women, they refused. They covered their faces. They didn't want to enter. So then, finally, after they went inside, and Prabhupada said, "Oh, I'm talking to one of my disciples' mother and this and that." So the point there is that the next day, Srila Prabhupada, in a conversation as he's walking with his disciples, asked one of them, "Why do you hate women?" He said, well, you know, he gave his explanation, like, you know, sexuality or the danger of association. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in that he said, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we train our devotees in such a way that they can relate, and our women, devotees, can purify them. Can even purify them by their association. He was like giving this point. So the reason I mentioned this is that sometimes even within spirituality, not with the training that Prabhupada is giving to see the whole picture properly, that you can reject artificially, think, oh no, this is Maya. So when you were mentioning about the difference between Grihasthas and Grihamedis, and it's clear the point that it's about how to relate to the women's in our movement too, because that can be also, sometimes people hear this and immediately they take it to the stream. And our devotee, female devotees who are a big contribution to Prabhupada's movement can be isolated and totally, inhibited by the behavior, the immature behavior of the brahmacharis or grihasthas or someone who takes a radical position. So I just thought that maybe to mention that point in which is be Krishna conscious, act properly, behave properly, and like you were mentioning too, the fence. You still put the fence there to, you know, distancing.
So. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. That's a really great point. I just read the other day. Yeah, this isn't the context. This is materialistic. These are like materialistic people, devotees are different. Prabhupada makes a clear differentiation that he says, I have to find the reference. I just read it, I think, in the first canto, and like the first, in the second chapter. I just read it, but he said, you know, the devotees are different. They're not just ordinary materialistic people, and we should be able to understand that. But I personally hear this. About the sense gratification, and I'm trying to look within myself to how much am I free from that myself, and then I try to find the materialistic intentions and, you know, stuff within myself, and I try to, you know, use that to improve. But I just thank you for that point, Prabhu. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Quick question about Jagai and Madai, because you mentioned them, and you said that Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, and the common example that we always hear is that Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill Jagai and Madai, but Nityananda saved them, right? But we also hear that one should tolerate all offenses to oneself, But if one offends the Lord or his devotees, one should act like fire. So Nityananda was the one that was hit in the head with a pot. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill Jagai Madai because they offended Nityananda, who's acting as a devotee, and he's also the Lord. But what if the roles were reversed? What if Lord Chaitanya was the one that got hit in the head? Don't you think Nityananda would also want to act like fire and kill Jagai Madai for offending Lord Chaitanya?
So the question is, don't I think that?
Yeah, like, we always hear the example that Lord Nityananda is most merciful because of that example. But if the roles were reversed, I would think that Nityananda would also want to cause harm to Jagai Madai if they hit Lord Chaitanya in the head with the pot.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason why that would, I can't think of any reference or reason why it wouldn't be. Because also Lord Chaitanya, you know, is Krishna in the mood of his devotee. And, you know, if a devotee sees another devotee being attacked, I can't remember exactly where, but Prabhupada says in a purport, it's the duty of the Vaishnava to become angry and you don't tolerate blaspheme of the Lord or his devotees.
So, like, basically the question is Nityananda really more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, or is it equal?
Yes, because you go to Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda.
And also we hear that Jagai Madai is like the extra incarnation of Jai and Vijay. Because it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that they come as three times, and then Jagai Madai is like their encore appearance. But I've only heard that from devotees. I've never read that anywhere. Do you know, like, a Shastra reference?
You know, just to be honest, I have heard this. I've heard, I can't remember. Maybe somebody else can. So, sorry. Okay. Thank you very much. Agvash Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vanchakol patrubhishtha kripa sinhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Natagoti vaishnavrindaki.